Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I got Tom Jones, I got Derek Sharp, and we got Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. What could be better? Everybody's where they're supposed to be. What was this all about? Like, we went through the whole summer.
Thank you.
The Hawaii trip, you know, the t-shirts, the match, my future is a beautiful mystery. Not so much.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy was in there. They got the girlfriend. Your mom, the meatloaf, like, what was this all about?
With cartoons going.
Yeah, I don't even know. Why you don't even realize? Almost nunchucked you.
What is he doing back there?
I don't know what he was doing. But like,
I don't know what it was all about. I truly don't know what it was all about, Rick. All I know is that when I turned on in the morning, you know, working the last year from home, basically,
right,
because of the pandemic, I would turn on first thing in the morning, turn on a little CNN. Make sure I'm, you know, everything's, you know, the world hasn't caved in yet. And then
Capitol's not on fire. And then, same here.
Right. Well, in most days that was true, but not every day. But then I turn on Get Up, and I really, like, I don't know what that show's going to do now, by the way, Get Up,
right,
now that Aaron Rodgers has actually reported, because that's all they talked about for last four months,
right,
is Aaron Rodgers, he's coming back. Again, Rick, what was this about? Was he mad? Seriously, and I followed it every day. Was he mad that they drafted Jordan Love and instead of a quarterback? Was that truly what this is all about?
According to my sources, Aaron Rodgers wanted more control, wanted to be liked, wanted what Tom Brady has, and that is to be able to have more say. He didn't like Jordan Love. He wants to have control of his own career after next season. Adam Schefter was part of this. He was all over this, and I still don't know what it was all. As Peter King would say, here's what I think. I think he wanted exactly what Tom Brady had, which is, I want to pick my own team. I'll play one more year. While I'm there, you've got to go get certain players for me. Oh, by the way, here comes Randall Cobb from the Houston Texans. Right away, Randall Cobb. Right. For whatever reason, Randall Cobb is, you know, hadn't done anything in 2 years. He's now going to be a Packer again. I think you're going to see this. I think you're going to see this around the league. I think this is the Brady effect, and I think it was on full display. Yeah, he wasn't happy about Jordan Love. He's never been happy about, you know. Isn't it ironic, don't you think, Alanis Morissette, that this guy suddenly didn't like somebody drafting his replacement? But isn't that how he came into the picture with Brett Favre?
And nobody was saying that he was on his way out when they drafted Jordan Love. They knew that he wasn't going to play forever. They had to have a contingency plan, I would think.
But then he won the MVP. Like, he screwed up everything. He went out and was the best player in the league.
Exactly. But here's the thing. And if I'm the Green Bay Packers and I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers and I'm saying, like, wait, what's your beef again? Because last time I looked, if you had bothered to try to run the ball in from like
the eighth
yard line, we might have been in the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Like, it's not like we surrounded you with what before Deshaun Watson got in, you know, the mess that he's in now. It wasn't like we gave you a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, this was a good team. We, even without that play where we kicked the field goal, whatever, you came within a game of going to the Super Bowl. So it's not like we threw you out there with a bunch of slugs. Like, this
was
a good
13-3 the last 2 years and went to the championship game.
Right.
I mean, the reality is, in the last 30 years, the Green Bay Packers have had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in 30 years. They've won two Super Bowls.
Wow. That's the other thing. Apparently he put out a tweet or something somewhere where it was like, they're making it sound like this is the last dance now.
It's, well,
like,
he, you know, posted that, him and,
him and Cobb, right?
No, the other receiver, whose name for whatever reason escapes me. The best.
So they're acting
best receiver,
like,
in football.
They're acting like this. For, like, let me just correct something,
Devontae
here.
Adams.
You ain't.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. You ain't Michael Jordan. You ain't MJ. Okay, you won one. Super Bowl. One.
Right.
You go
a long time ago.
A long time ago, right, and have gotten to the NFC Championship game and can't win that game. You know, Tom Brady's won as many NFC Championship games as you had in the last 5 years. So I he came off so much as a diva, Rick, and he's such a good player. Yeah. And there are times where I really like Aaron Rodgers, but this is what this was all about. He wanted more control, and I think he wanted to leave Green Bay, but he didn't want to be the bad guy. He wanted to somehow paint the Packers as the bad guy. He wants to be liked by everybody, but yet he doesn't want to stay there. If you're a Packers fan, let's put cheeseheads on for a minute.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
Get your cheesehead. Your wife's from, you know how. Wisconsin,
oh yeah,
I got
the Badger helmet in my room here. Hold on. Got it on. Yep.
If you're a Packers fan, you got the cheesehead on. How do you view this? Are you mad at the organization? Are you mad at Rodgers? Like, how are you looking at this?
In Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm pissed at Rodgers if it's me, right?
Well, listen, everybody loves a winner, and I think they were ready to say, you know, screw you, Aaron Rodgers. You don't want to be here. We'll get behind Jordan Love. I really do think that he was really at the risk of eroding what little fan base was in his corner. But, you know, as soon as he walked in, you know, the other day, everybody's probably happy he's back because they know he's still their best chance of winning. I mean, things were not going to go well in Green Bay with essentially a rookie quarterback, second-year quarterback that hadn't played. But what Aaron Rodgers knows is that you don't draft a guy like a Jordan Love and then never play him. I mean, at some point, they got to find out what they have in this guy. So he, you know, at his age, he could figure that, well, you know, they're looking to move forward. They didn't ask me if they'd have drafted a wide receiver or two. Maybe I could have gotten back into the Super Bowl the last 2 years, but instead you're too busy picking quarterbacks. I understand sort of his take on things, but the fact of the matter is he has a really good coach. It's still a good organization. They went 13-3 2 years in a row. And I think to your point, if Aaron Rodgers makes a better decision on that third down, maybe the coach doesn't kick a field goal on fourth down if he's at the 1 yard line or if he scores. I mean, that whole game was going to be about Tom Brady blowing an 18-point lead, much the way that the Atlanta Falcons did in the Super Bowl to him. He threw three picks in the second half.
Oh, I'm convinced if that game was 3 minutes longer, the Packers would have
absolutely
won that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it was a 60-minute game. That's how it works.
That's how it works. And you know, to the victor goes the spoils. And so instead of remembering Brady blowing an 18-point lead, we remember Aaron Rodgers making a bad decision and then not going for it and kicking a field goal that ultimately, you know, probably cost them the game. And so, but I think, you know, I really do think that Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady has changed the way football, you know, it's the ultimate team sport. It's not the NBA where there's only five players and all of that, and you get two or three all-stars together and you have a super team. You really can't do that as much in the NFL, because again, you know, the salary cap's a little more restrictive and you're talking about a 53-man roster, and it's not just the offense that wins. You got to have a defense too. So all of that is part of it. But there are a few players, especially at that position in particular, that just are going to continue to wield way more power because of what Brady did. Now, Brady fought to be a free agent and he got to pick where he wanted to go. And it worked out. I don't know how it worked out, but I saw them win a Super Bowl, so it did work out. And now I think that what Rodgers has done is he had a three-year deal, 3 years left. They voided one of those years, but the Packers said to him, listen, you can decide what you want to do after this season. We'll let you do that. But you have to be under contract with us for 2022. Otherwise, we get no compensation at all if we trade you. You know, if we just let you walk, if we void both years after this year, then we get nothing for you. We're not going to do that.
I think at the end of the day, Rodgers, as much as he's put them through the ringer and says he wants out, if you're not going to let me pick my team, blah, 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 he actually did do the right thing at the end of the day in terms of, like, if he's going to leave. Now, I mean, the ultimate right thing is to play out the contract, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's giving them as much as could be expected to be to give on this at this stage. He's saying, look, I'll play one more year mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. You can trade me at the end of this year, get something for right. me. And And this gives you a year to get Jordan Love ready or make another plan if you don't think Jordan Love's ever going to be the guy. Right. So I will give him credit for somehow at least working with him a little bit. And I'll give the Packers
I'm not
credit.
Sure what his options were. I think it was the best compromise for both. Neither one got everything they wanted, which is usually your best deals. But right. Listen, the Packers would have just let – they would not have traded him. They'd have just let him sit there retired or whatever position he wanted to be in at
that
point.
Well, but he wasn't going to do that, though, because – then he would have been the bad guy.
Right.
He would have been the guy that didn't show up.
And
for
he
work.
Wouldn't have made $35 million. You know, there is a fine. Now you could say, well, he's made all the money in the world, but well. Yeah,
$35 million is $35
million. You know,
it's a lot of money.
And we're not talking about a Rob Gronkowski, right, whose body was all beat up and he retired for a year and he did a bunch of game shows or whatever it is that Rob did. And then he was able to be talked back into the NFL. This is a quarterback. I think. You know, if you sit out a whole year, I'm not saying he couldn't be one of the top 15 or 10 or whatever. I just think at his age, if you sit out an entire year of football, you know,
at that age,
at that position, I just don't think it's going to go well when you try to jump back in it. I think Rodgers understood that.
Here's the problem I think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up having out of this, Rick, and I think it's what all these guys, and you mentioned Brady, and I agree with you 100%. I actually think this is LeBron James is the one that should get credit for starting this whole thing. And you're right, that like a guy like LeBron can go from team to team, and he can swing the entire balance of the league. One guy in football can't do that, but a quarterback comes closer than anybody else to being able to do it. But you're right. Here's the difference. Brady, though, produced in New England at such a rate that we call him the greatest quarterback of all time. And when he left there, the people of New England don't resent him. They did.
No.
I mean, we just saw the other day, Matt Damon gave an interview with what Dan Patrick saying. I mean, he rooted for the Bucs.
No Bucs, he said at the end of the interview.
Yeah, that's what Brady meant. And now he can go to another city and he's still beloved and always will be in Boston and New England. But I think if Aaron Rodgers were to leave at the end of this year, if they don't win a Super Bowl in Green Bay this year, if he leaves, I don't think the people of Green Bay are going to, at least initially, someday they'll, you know, it's going to be like Brett Favre. When Brett Favre showed up in Minneapolis,
he went to the Vikings, for God's sakes.
People went crazy.
Championship game.
Right. And it wasn't until just the last couple of years where people finally forgave him, and now he's a legend again in Green Bay. But I think if Rodgers thinks if anybody thinks I'm going to pull the Tom Brady, you haven't built up the equity that Tom Brady built up in New England. So if you don't mind being disliked in the place where you called home for the last 15 years, fine. But if you think you're going to leave and it's all going to work out the way it worked out for Brady, I think you're mistaken. I don't think it will work that way if they don't win a Super Bowl this year.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, I actually wonder how, you know, this season will go, because it's a referendum on the Packers, but it's also sort of a referendum on Rodgers. Now, he's coming off an MVP year. It's not as if his skills have eroded. He's an exceptional quarterback. But he's also, you know, I've never got the sense, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, and I think he's great, I think he's one of the most pure throwers of a football I've ever seen.
Sure.
But I never got the sense that he's the Tom Brady. It's I love football and only football. There is nothing else out there for me. And I play just to win. Like
he's too cool. He's too cool for school.
He's that guy, right? It's like, you know, there's the thing about Brady that people like is his humility. You know what I mean? And now he seems a little more human because he's out of that, you know, robotic Patriot way.
Right, we're on in
Cincinnati,
to Miami, yeah.
But with Rodgers, he's not, unless you're a Packers fan. I never thought he was the easiest guy to warm up to.
No, he always came off to me like, again, and he is, but he always came off as like, I'm a little cooler than you are,
right?
And he is,
and
a
he
cooler
is,
than
yeah.
yeah. That's the thing. He's like super smart.
Oh, he's a great golfer. Like he's got every, you know what I mean? Like I question dumping Olivia Munn, but that's my personal, you know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, famous girlfriends. Yeah. And it looks like he shows, you know, he's a good looking dude. And he goes to Hawaii on vacation. Like he has the life that we all want to have.
Sure.
Like if we were his, you know, if we were him.
Except I don't want to live in Green Bay.
Well, and apparently he doesn't
that's
anymore
what's
either.
Say. I mean, he's a California
but
kid.
But I mean, obviously he loves the people of New. I mean, he, But when I say he loves Green Bay because he doesn't want to be disliked, that does seem to still be important to him to not.
He don't want to be the bad guy, but to your point, like, it's almost that's just the way fans are. Like, if you say you don't like the organization, what they hear is you don't like playing for the Green Bay. You don't like Green Bay. You don't like playing in Green Bay. You want to move someplace else. You want to do something else. Now, you know, if and when this doesn't go well, and I think he's now put a hell of a lot of pressure on himself and the organization, right? Like, it's
sure thing.
It's this is it, right? This is the last dance, right?
I mean, Ben, I got news for you. The last dance, they won. Yeah, the Bulls won.
They won a championship. I know. And the difference is that that Bulls team, including Michael Jordan, couldn't understand why it was the last dance. They blamed the GM for not keeping them there, for not keeping the band together. Whereas Rodgers is like, nah, I want a different band altogether. You know, I want to move to someone else. But I think it's an immense amount of pressure, not just on Aaron Rodgers, but on that organization. And they already have a bunch. You know, I mean, there's other good teams in the NFC, including the Bucks, including the LA Rams, including, you know, who knows, maybe Chicago and Justin Fields becomes relevant or something like that.
I mean, Miami or Minnesota.
Minnesota's been a contender the last few years. Yeah. So, you know, there's no guarantee that they're going to go 13-3 again. They've done that 2 years in a row, but behind this backdrop, it's win or else. I mean, you talk about Super Bowl or bust, like, this is it. And then he's not going to be able to, you know, to dictate. I'll just say this, that he's not going to any team in the NFC North and maybe never to a team in the NFC. I don't know why you'd want to trade him. You know, when the New York Jets got rid of Brett Favre finally, I'm not the New York Jets, the Packers got rid of Brett Favre, they wouldn't trade him to an NFC team like Tampa. I live that nightmare. Right. He ended up going to the Jets first.
Right.
You know, and then he had to quit there to get to Minnesota.
Yeah, who knows what everybody's quarterback situation will be a year from now.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you're right. I agree with you 100%. The pressure's on him because if you're going to sit there and complain all offseason and go through this whole soap opera and put your fans through the ringer, and then you decide to show up as, you know, you Mr. Cool, you got your hair in a ponytail and you know, wearing an office shirt because you're cooler than everybody else, and flip flops and everything, and rolling in like you're like Joe Cool. Well, then you better go out and win some football games, you know, because if you don't, I'm a fan there. I'm like, what the heck? All this? Although maybe I guess he could turn around and say, see, I don't have the team around me.
I told you we weren't any good. We only won 13 last year, and we're right there on the goal line when we lost. Dagnummit. Right.
And he ain't getting a Jeopardy job either. So let's.
You've said that from the beginning.
Well,
Is LeVar Burton going to get this job now? Is that.
Well, there's definitely a ton of people who like him. I've only watched a little bit of his show. His first week has been this week.
Okay.
I thought he's been a little stiff at times, but I caught him very early. So, yeah. I mean, you can't really judge somebody on their first couple of performances. But I'm a big Ken Jennings guy.
You like Jennings. Ken Jennings, who's just a champion.
He's really good. I think he's been good. I thought he was really good. I think everybody's been pretty good for the most part. A couple of people, eh. But Robin Roberts did it last week. We still got, I think, Joe Buck's coming up in the next couple of weeks here. Another 3 weeks or a month or so. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Buck. Yeah.
With Tim McCarver or just
his ring finger. I thought that, you know what I thought would be a good idea is just to keep doing guest hosts forever and ever and ever. I think that would be a cool thing to do, but I don't,
that's a coveted franchise though. If you can land that one, right?
For sure. For sure.
I mean, that's the Price is Right.
Who's the guy that had the song "Our Love's in Jeopardy"? I think he would be good.
Was that the Greg Kin band?
Did anyone think of that?
That's pretty good.
Although that was that was Weird Al. Weird Al also did.
Oh, that's right.
Did a version.
I lost on Jeopardy. That's right.
I mean,
didn't Steve Carney, our old buddy Steve Carney from WDAE,
He tried out and eventually didn't make the cut for whatever reason. But hey, I'll give him credit.
Heck yeah.
He used to do every year would go after it. Yeah.
Well, it seems like it's all about the buzzer anymore.
It's true.
I would if it was like three or four questions in a row that I had the answer to and I got out buzzered, I would throw that thing down and leave the set. I would not be a good Jeopardy contestant.
You think it's rigged? Do you think one buzzer is quicker than the others?
No, not at all. But it's an art. But yeah, the one thing
it is
that
I
Tom,
think that's
very safe to assume that Aaron Rodgers will not be the host on Jeopardy.
I don't think so. No, it doesn't look like it now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Had Rodgers not gone back to the Green Bay Packers, which makes them an instant contender, obviously. They've been in two championship games. You were talking about, okay, the Rams, if Stafford works out, they lost their starting running backs or running back. You would say maybe Russell Wilson in Seattle. Maybe Arizona rises up. Maybe San Francisco comes back with either Garoppolo or Trey Lance. But
how about Dak in Dallas? Are we giving them any really, shot?
Their
defenses, no.
How many years are we going to say the Dallas Cowboys are a contender and they're never a contender?
They haven't won since Troy Aikman was
I mean, the other day, Jerry Jones broke down saying he screwed it up with Jimmy Johnson. I mean,
when you're lamenting, Jimmy, that's bad.
That was 100 years ago. I mean, I just remember that's Barry Switzer. We did it our way, baby. You know,
we shouldn't have let Vince Lombardi get away.
Right?
It's like, yeah, Jimmy Johnson. It's like 1,000 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Yeah. The Colts are wishing they hadn't let Don Shula go to the Dolphins. I mean, how far back we going here, Jerry?
That's true.
But, yeah, so.
But you're right. No, even with Aaron Rodgers, Rick, you mentioned there's some teams out there that, you know, the Rams, and we'll see what if the 49ers.
Unless you're a big believer in New Orleans and their new quarterback.
Yeah, Jameis or whatever, mm-hmm. whoever's going to be the quarterback there. But I think the Bucs are clearly the favorite. I can't remember the last time that you looked at one conference and I felt more confident about a team that would win that conference going back to maybe when Tom Brady was in New England.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And he gets to play AFC East when he's not playing the NFC South. So he's kind of familiar with those teams too.
Right.
Including going back to New England on October.
How about
3rd,
him throwing this ball in the thing, man? So what happened?
Okay. Have you seen, I'm sure most people have seen it by now. It's kind of went viral. It was, and it was shot at UCLA, I guess, when he's out in Brentwood for whatever reason. And so the jugs machine, we're all familiar with jugs machines, especially if you play baseball, you're used to taking batting practice off those damn things. So,
right.
You know, they use them for football too.
I didn't like those ones for baseball, by the way, because I like the ones with the arm in baseball.
Yeah,
like flung it over.
Kind of weird, but yeah, at least
because it looked more like a pitcher.
You could anticipate when the ball was coming that way, but
you're coming out of the.
All right, so you know, anyway, if you know anything about these things, the wheels on the bus go round and round. They go one direction. So if you throw a ball, you know, it's usually fed from behind the machine, and then the ball goes forward. And in this case, Tom Brady, who is extremely accurate, 63% career percentage and all that, he drops back, he throws a football between the two tires and then he just throws it back to him. It's like he's playing catch with a jugs machine. He's right. So accurate. He can fit this thing, you know, like a football through a keyhole. I mean, he can fit this thing right in there and then it shoots it back to him and he catches it. So he does this twice and he drops back a few more yards, throws it a third time. Knocks the machine over, pops the ball straight up in the air, and he's like, let's go, you know. So, tremendously entertaining. You know, his social media game is second to none. The people he has working on this thing is phenomenal. But it was interesting to me. It's always interesting to me is the things that people will believe is true because they're seeing it, and then what they think is fake news. Well, this never fooled me. I know.
It fooled me.
No, it didn't. Come on.
For a minute, I looked at it. I'm like, so, okay. So I played baseball.
But you
and
know
I,
how
and
it works,
I've,
right?
I've hit the baseball out of those jug machines.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. I haven't done it personally, but I've seen other people hit a ball into that thing and it shoots it back. I've seen that happen.
You've seen that happen?
Like, yeah, it's like you've never seen it all the years.
I've seen. Well, the wheels are spinning, so it can only come back, right? I mean, like, it, right. But it's sped. So,
but
it's
I've
sped.
Seen a ball hit into it and shoot.
See,
back
I've not seen
again.
That happen. I've not seen one go. You know, I've seen it hit the wheel and get and get flung because the wheels are spinning. But I've never seen one actually go.
I actually saw it happen. Now, it didn't shoot it straight back at the batter. It's sort of like was a little bit off.
Yeah, see,
I've seen it happen.
I didn't think it was possible, and. Okay, maybe half the people, you can fool half the people half the time, whatever. Anyway, it wasn't.
I'm gullible because I saw it and I was like.
Well, you want to believe Brady can do anything. I mean, we know that, right?
I think he can do it, by the way.
They did have one earlier where he threw Brady. One to the moon and it blew the moon up. Then I went outside and saw that the moon was still there, so I knew that was fake.
It's almost like in that scene in Ted where, you know, they're looking at Sam Jones, you know, the Flash Gordon,
that's
and he's
right.
like, because that's the ultimate, you know, the NFL quarterback. He goes, Tom Brady could do that. He goes, Tom Brady could do that. And I thought Tom Brady could do this. I thought he
well, and that's the thing. If it's any other quarterback, no chance, but it's Tom Brady. So people believed it, and then it finally got broken down, you know, on the interweb, as the kids say. And they also credited a guy who's big in visual effects with CGI and things like that. So it wasn't, in fact, if you do, you know, the Zapruder frame by frame, you can actually see the background's blurry. You can see there's a power cord that's moving. There's various tip-offs to the editing of this thing. It's supremely edited, though. Like,
remember the time when Evan Longoria had that, there was a clip where somebody, like he was being interviewed by a reporter on the field and somebody hit a line drive and he barehands it at the last second. Mm-hmm. That was fake. That was fake too, obviously. But
yeah.
It's same thing. Like if you look at it, it looks real. Like, wow, that totally looks real.
Right. Which is scary because.
Well, because people use it for.
Yeah. For bad
for
things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, politically, like we've seen like sort of these deep fake, you know, type videos of politicians saying things that they really didn't say.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. You can edit a lot of things, but listen, I don't know where the guy has the time to do all this. It seems like he is, you know, between his businesses, his golf. I've never seen a professional athlete, first of all, that was, you know, as big as him in Tampa, but also somebody that had so many, so much demand on his time to do these projects. And he does them flawlessly. And there's so many of them that I just don't know where he finds the time to do it, but he manages to handle all of that. It's just, it's remarkable.
That was pretty cool. It's a pretty cool video.
Yeah, check it out. You can go on TampaBay.com. I wrote a story about breaking down people that have broken down this tape and kind of tell you how they did it and stuff like that. It's kind of neat. Speaking of the Bucks, I was out at the practice the other day. By the way, it's like walking on the sun out there. Holy cow. I mean, I know I'm like an old player because I'm an old writer, but I know I'm like an old player that just wants to get to the regular season. I don't in training camp does not interest me. I don't care about roster spots. I'm just like, let's go, especially with a team with 22 returning starters. But, you know, this is a difficult year. We've talked about it the other day, about COVID, about how it's changed our lives, about how it's changing sports and how, you know, we live in a world where the CDC one day puts out a different recommendation and the league has to react to it. So who knows where we'll be when we get to September. They're planning on playing with full stadiums and things like that. However, I digress. The NFL has basically said to their players, we want you to get vaccinated. Now, you have a choice. We're not going to force you, wink, wink, nod, nod. But if you don't, you're going to live a different life than everybody else. You're going to live a life of last year where you're tested every day. And only this time, if you infect a bunch of players and your team can't play because you have an outbreak, yeah, you're going to forfeit that game. So you can imagine, because this is a big business, and the business is good, and they don't want to stop business because of COVID. You can imagine the pressure that puts on the players and the organization in particular to say, hey, guys, we need you to take the shot. We really need you to take the shot. And I don't want to get – there's obviously a political aspect to this. There's probably a cultural one as well. And then there's, you know, the Constitution. I mean, they're going to, you know, certain companies require you to have vaccinations. The NFL is saying it's still up to you, but we really want you to. Now, against this backdrop, you have Bruce Arians, who a year ago was fanatical about making guys, you know, follow the protocols. He believes because they defeated the virus, they were able to win all those games and win the Super Bowl. And so now they have an opportunity to get a shot, and he wants them all to get vaccinated. Can't force them to do so, but there's all these protocols. And, you know, it turns out that if you're a player in that building that has been vaccinated, you wear a red bracelet. If you're not, you wear a yellow bracelet. Now, the players that inside the building that aren't vaccinated have to wear masks all the time. And there's a lot of other protocols. So Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, he had been checking on what teams were doing to sort of identify those players that were vaccinated and those that were unvaccinated. And I think he called around, and with the Bucs, he found out that they were wearing wristbands. But then he looked at the tapes of practice and saw, well, some were wearing them, some weren't, some didn't have them. Brady didn't have one on. What is he? Is he vaccinated? So he wrote a little story about it, and was just asking the question, wasn't very clear, at least what I read anyway. He was more or less saying, didn't look like everybody had their bracelets on. And I guess you could take that as a suggestion as well, they're not following the rules or something, anyway, that's the way the Bucs took it. And so Bruce Arians, when he got up in his press conference the other day after practice, he just kind of went on this profanity-laced rant about how, when I tell you stuff and you don't know what the bleep you're talking about and you print it, that's bleepity bleep. And he was pretty
unprovoked, right? Like, I mean, he just started off
I got something to say, and he just went. And then he goes from that to, I thought we had a pretty good practice, and he was fine. But I knew it was in talking to some folks after, I knew it was particularly Florio's article that kind of got him upset. I guess here's my question. It's a long way to get to it, I understand. Tom, guys like Ron Rivera, who's gone through a cancer battle, others that have been immune compromised, they have different perspectives than other people. We all have our own, we all bring our own baggage to it. How much should the NFL lean on their players? Is this the right thing to do? If you're a coach, should you just take a stance and say, I want all these guys vaccinated? Look, because I'm here to tell you, if it comes down to roster cutdowns and it's player A and player B and they're the same talent and one's vaccinated, guess who gets the job? This is not hard to figure Absolutely. Out. And so, where do you come down on, this idea that, and I'm surprised how many players with the Bucs and big name guys have not been vaccinated, but where do you make of all this? Is this going to be a big story this year? Or?
Yes, it's going to be a big story. And here's what I make of it, Rick. And this is something that a former radio partner of mine, you have always said to me about everything. Follow the money.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the money. Forget the politics of this. Forget about this idea of no one's going to tell me, the government can't tell me, or I don't trust COVID, or if you don't get vaccinated, you're a jerk. Like all this, all the political stuff that we're hearing that's going on, throw that out the window. It has nothing to do with that when it comes to the NFL. The NFL is about making money. And each team, it's about competitive advantage. It's about doing what it can to make sure that it gets every advantage it can to play on Sunday. Yeah. And if that means I got to get everybody vaccinated so I'm not missing anybody on Sunday, so I'm not missing my starting left tackle, so I'm not missing my starting defensive end, then I want you to be vaccinated. I don't think it comes down to, for a lot of these people, I don't think it comes down to, there are exceptions, Ron Rivera, and I get it. There are a lot of people who look at it. I mean, Bruce Arians is a guy who's had some health issues over the years. I get it. There are people who do care about the health of it all. But I also think a lot of this is, hey, I want everybody available on Sunday. This is it's like an injury to them. They want to get everybody out
it
there.
It absolutely is that. If you're not the best, as Bud Grant used to say, and Tony Dungy repeat, the best ability is availability. If you have COVID, you're not in the building. Hell, they had a false negative, but it took 2 days of false tests to get a player back on the practice field. Antoine Winfield Jr. one day tested positive, had to have 2 days of negative tests to go back to practice. So
I don't know what all the contracts say, Rick, about like the TV contracts, NBC. If a Sunday night game gets canceled and no money's coming in on that, and they have to show reruns of America's Got Talent or whatever, Like, I don't know what that means for NBC. Or do they want money? Do they want 1/16 of their money back or 1/18 of their money from a missing game? I don't know how all that stuff works, but I do know that the NFL, the last thing they need is a game to get canceled.
Right. So, and they moved eight games last year. I mean, they played them all, which was remarkable because, you know, we didn't have a vaccine throughout the regular season and most of the postseason. So, but they ended up, they didn't lose a game. They didn't cancel a single game.
And that's a good point to bring up because that's part of this. They're saying, you know, they threaten the players. Now, obviously, it's an intimidation factor with the players where, hey, if we cancel a game because you're not vaccinated, you forfeit the game and neither side gets paid. I mean, there's no more pressure on a player than to tell his teammate, you're not getting your paycheck this week.
Right.
But at the same time, we didn't even have a vaccine a year ago and they didn't miss any games.
Right.
So the possibility of a game getting totally wiped out seems pretty small. But Rick, it's all about the money. It's all about, this isn't about politics. This isn't about, I'm not even sure it's about health.
Well,
I think it's all about, let's make sure we don't miss any games.
They played an entire season largely in many places with no fans at all. This year they plan on playing with full stadiums. And if you think they're looking to have give away that revenue again, you know, by not having people in the seats, you're just dead wrong. You know, and so that's the thing. If you're going to invite the world to come watch, based on whatever the rules are of that city or state at the time, then, you know, your players need to be as healthy as possible, and you don't want to cancel games. So it's really interesting because I do believe that there's an obvious competitive advantage. One, if you don't lose players. Two, you know, if guys can practice. I mean, there's so many tentacles to this thing, and you know, the league and its players. The players are behind this too. Like, they want their guys vaccinated, whether it's for health or profit. It doesn't really matter, the motive, but they definitely want it done. So it's been interesting. We'll wrap it up on this. A big trade for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are definitely cutting salary. We know they lost Yanni Gourde, of course, in the expansion draft. Well, say goodbye and happy trails to Tyler Johnson. Yeah. Traded to the Chicago Blackhawks for a second rounder in what amounts to the salary of Brent Seabrook. I don't think actually we'll see.
Right, yeah.
We'll see him. What do you make of this latest deal?
Sad. It's a sad deal, just like Yanni Gourde, except even sadder. I think Tyler Johnson has been a part of this thing pretty much since the beginning with this current administration, you know, with John Cooper. Played for John Cooper. But, Rick, I go back. He scored two of the more famous goals in recent Lightning history. He scored a goal in overtime, I want to say, in game 4 against Detroit back in 2015. Mm-hmm. That was a series. The Lightning were in big time trouble. They were down 2-0 in the third period, close to falling down 3-1, tied that game late, and then scored in overtime. Great pass from Victor Hedman. Win that game in overtime, went on to win that series in 7 games. And then in the next round, scored a walk-off goal, scored with 1.1 seconds left to beat Montreal, put them up 3-0 in that series. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up winning that series, I think, in 6 games. And that's the year they went to the finals, went and played Chicago in the finals. Tyler Johnson, and by the way, let me add to one of the all-time good guys, like just a really just fun guy to be around, always had time for you. Just a guy I really enjoyed covering whenever I had a chance to talk to him. Sort of a little bit of a wise ass at times, which in a funny way, like in a good way. Laid back. And I tell you what, Rick, I mean, for a guy who was not that big, you know, played hard, like went to the dirty areas of the ice, not timid at all out there. Like just, I think was a really solid player for this team. And look what he did this past year, Rick. They put him on waivers. They were trying to get rid of him a year ago because of his contract. They basically couldn't get rid of him. They put him on pretty much the fourth line. Third and fourth lines, and he went out there and played hard. I thought he had a great playoff.
I did too.
You know, he didn't score a bunch, but I thought he made a real impact, and he's going to be missed. It's sad. It's sad to see him go. I thought he would end up in Seattle because he's from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he'd end up with the expansion team there. Maybe he still will. Maybe Chicago will end up peddling him over there, but or maybe before his career's over, he'll end up there, but sad to see him go. Good dude. Good player. Nice player.
And if you take the two of them, Yanni Gourde and Tyler Johnson, two guys that brought a lot of energy, you know, sure, maybe not to the first two lines, but I mean, players that were hard to match up against. That depth was something that they used the last 2 years. It's not going to be the same, and there might be more changes before we're all said and done in this thing. So,
also, too, Rick, I mean, a lot of people, we talked about this before on the podcast. He was part of that triplets line back in the day, and he broke his wrist in that before he got to the finals in 2015. There are a lot of people feel that as well as he played that year and as good of a player as he was that entire season, that if he doesn't have a broken wrist, the Lightning maybe win that cup in 2015. Well, I think they at least come closer. So
yeah, he's a big goal scorer early in his career for sure. All right. Well, I just want to let everybody know that we're going to have our mailbag segment tomorrow. Derek Sharp, of course, will help me navigate that, as well as any other news that might break on the Rays and their trade front, which is the trade deadline is coming close. So if you have any questions about the Bucks, the Rays, the Lightning, college football, you name it, send it to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud. My email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Tom Jones is at the Poynter Institute. He has his newsletter, and they can reach you at poynter.org, correct?
That's correct. You are correct, sir.
Yes. And, boy, it's been great having the three of us back together again. It's just been...
Is Derek going to be here next week, too?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you guys need a lot less guidance than at the beginning of our time together. I'm very impressed.
Well, you noticed...
It didn't go well to start.
We don't have breaks, so here's that. We don't have to go to commercial or any of the
We don't have to go to commercial. We also don't have me working the system where I go, okay, let's take a call from Steve. Let's go to Steve in Tampa. And I hit the button, and next thing you know, it's a commercial for, like, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Like,
yeah, it was rarely break. Steve in Tampa.
That's true too.
It's a pleasure. I mean, Steve Versnick is the guy who actually, I mean, really, 1,000 shows, and he's done 900, the first 990, whatever. So
98, yeah.
I'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I'm more than happy to fill in.
Well, we really love having you, and it's been fun. So we'll do it again. We'll have our mailbag tomorrow. Tom Jones, hopefully, she'll join you again next week. But in the meantime,
good.
Thanks for dropping in. For Tom Jones, for Derek Sharp, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.